జయ జయ ప్రభుపాద 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 జయ ప్రభుపాద స్వయం విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస పరిజగచార్య అష్టోత్తర సత్య శ్రీ శ్రీమాత్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ. స్వయం విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస పరిజగచార్య అష్టోత్తర సత్య శ్రీ శ్రీమాత్ శీల భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ. అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవుంది కీ జయ. గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీ చైతన్య చరితమృత కీ జయ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ హరే కృష్ణ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ హరే కృష్ణ. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Jayasri. So, we're starting the reading of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 12, chapter entitled The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. Yes. This is the chapter summary. In his Amruta Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes this chapter as follows. The king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparudra, tried his best to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees informed the Lord about the king's desire, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not agree to see him. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised a plan, and he sent a piece of the Lord's outward garment to the king. The next day, when Ramananda Roy again entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king, the Lord, denying the request, asked Ramananda Roy to bring the king's son before him. The prince visited the Lord dressed like a Vaishnava, and this awakened remembrance of Krishna. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the son of Maharaj Prataparudra. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the Gundicha temple before the Ratayatra took place. He then took his bath at Indradumna Lake and partook of prasadam in the garden nearby. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the temple of Gundicha, a Gaudiya Vaishnava washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the water. This incident is very significant, for it awoke within the devotee ecstatic love. Then the son of Advaita Prabhu, named Gopal, fainted during the kirtan. And when he did not come to his senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored him by awakening him. There was also some humorous talk between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu during prasadam. Advaita Prabhu said that Nityananda Prabhu was unknown to anyone and that it was not the duty of a householder brahmana to accept dinner with a person unknown in society. In answer to this humorous statement, Sri Nityananda Prabhu replied that Advaita Acharya was a monist and that one could not know how his mind could be turned by eating with such an impersonalist. The conversation of these two Prabhus, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, carried a deep meaning that only an intelligent man can understand. After all the Vaishnavas finished their luncheon, Swarup Damodar and others took their prasadam within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took great pleasure when he saw that Jagannath deity after the period of deity's retirement. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was accompanied by all the devotees and all of them were pleased. This is text 1. Should I read the Bengali too, Soas Prabhu, or should I just read the... Okay. Sri Gundicha Mandiram Atma Vrindai Sammarjayam Shalanata Sagaura Swachitta Vachitalam Ujvalam Cha Krishno Pavesau Paikam Chakara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way, he made it as cool and bright as his own heart. And thus he made the temple a befitting place for Sri Krishna to sit. Text 2. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Gaura Chandra, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is beautiful. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that just by somehow or other remembering Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most difficult things becomes easy. But if we don't remember Lord Chaitanya, then the easiest things become very difficult. So just chanting this invocation is so auspicious. Text 3. All glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur. I beg their power so that I can properly describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 4. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from his South Indian tour, Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, became very anxious to meet him. Text 5. The king sent a letter from his capital, Cuttack, to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, entreating him to obtain the Lord's permission that he could go and see him. Text 6. Replying to the king's letter, the Bhattacharya wrote that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given his permission. After this, the king wrote him another letter. In this letter, text 7. In this letter, the king requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please appeal to all the devotees associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and submit this petition to them on my behalf. Text 8. If all the devotees associated with the Lord are favorably disposed toward me, they can submit my petition at the lotus feet of the Lord. Text 9. By the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Without His mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. Text 10. If Gaura Hari, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will not show mercy to me, I shall give up my kingdom, become a mendicant, and beg door to door. Text 11. When the Bhattacharya received this letter, he became very anxious. He then took the letter and went to the devotees of the Lord. Text 12. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met with all the devotees and described the king's wishes. Then he presented the letter to all of them for inspection. Text 13. Upon reading the letter, everyone was astonished to see that King Prataparudra had so much devotion for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, this is very instructive because this is the Prataparudra Maharaj. He's actually setting an example for all of us and all time to come, the mood, how to approach the spiritual master and the Lord. It is super important Because in the West and also in the East nowadays, everybody is like so focused on like, you know, accomplishing things and being so efficient and, you know, being like so, you know, being a, you know, very successful, charismatic person. But we can see in this pastime that the attitude, the mood of the devotees is so important. And it's so foreign to us, but by reading these books we can understand how important it is to take such a humble position in front of our spiritual masters, senior devotees, and what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there are chances. Like here, Maharaj Pratap Rudra is saying, by the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This is like an open book test. The success formula is given right there. And Pratap Rudra Maharaj was not just saying that, he actually meant it. Otherwise the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are so sober and so renounced, they're not going to take him seriously. He actually meant it. Sometimes when we approach, you know, the spiritual master or our aspiring guru, you know, we look at him and think like, you know, is this energy, you know, is this energy matching me? I hear this a lot, you know. I approach such and such guru, I love his energy, you know, but with this guru, like the energy, you know, is not my thing, not my cup of tea, you know. Because we have no idea what it means to accept a guru and what it means to submit. We approach him like with so much false ego and we just like size him up, seeing like, you know, is this matching me? You know, is this comforting my ego? And if it does so, then, you know, I would accept him and do him a favor. Otherwise, you know, I'll just go somewhere else. But Mahaprabhu devotees are showing us, headed by Pratap Rudra Maharaj, you know, it's so humbling, so insulting, so, you know, minimizing that you're the king and the monk in your kingdom wouldn't want to see you, you know. What would anybody want to do? You know, you want to get him out of your kingdom or destroy him or, you know, you want to do something. But Maharaj Pratap Rudra is writing a letter that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not want to see me, I'm willing to give up my kingdom. This is, you know, this is not even an initiated devotee. This is just a bhakta, new devotee. He's not even in the bhakta program. But so much qualification he had. Willing to, this exemplifying the teachings of Mahaprabhu even before he met Mahaprabhu. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahetu kitvaya. We also sang just now in the Jagannath Ashtakam. Navayache rajyam nacha kanaka manikyam vibhavam. I don't want any followers, I don't want any wealth, I don't want any beautiful man or woman. I don't want to be a learned scholar, I just want to serve. So this is the secret if we wanted to achieve the, you know, perfection of life, namely love for the Supreme. We should be able to give up everything for this highest cause. But in our conditioned stage, it's very difficult even to read this. It sounds like a, you know, like a story. It's not possible nowadays, you know. When I was in India recently, I met with one of my old friends who used to be a book distributor here in New Dwaraka, but he's not practicing anymore. But he was like so bitter, you know. We went for a walk and, you know, he's like, he does not want anything to do with ISKCON or, you know, Krishna. And he's like, so in so much maya. I said, what's your problem, you know? He said, I'm distributing books which so-called your ISKCON really appreciates, supposed to be like a big thing, but I never got my green card. That was the reason to give up like Krishna and ISKCON and everything, you know. Like we walk around thinking like ISKCON owes us a favor, you know, the world owes us a favor, otherwise we're willing to even give up our relationship with the Supreme. So this is how cheap we are, and, you know, very easily like angered and, you know, very, very cheap. But unless we come to this standard, at least we read about these standards and we absorb ourselves in the quality of the devotion that these great souls had, then we will not even know, you know, what's the standard and what to speak of following it. So text 14. The devotees gave their opinion and said, "The Lord will never meet the king. And if we requested him to do so, the Lord would surely feel very unhappy." Text 15. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya then said, "We shall go once again to the Lord, but we shall not request him to meet the king. Rather, we shall simply describe the good behavior of the king." Text 16. Having thus reached a decision, they all went to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There, although ready to speak, they could not even utter a word. See how non-envious the devotees are. Somebody is having a problem, they all get together and, you know, they're taxing their brain how to bring him closer to the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no envy there. Text 17. After they arrived at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place, Lord seeing them said, "What have you all come here to say? I see that you want to say something, but you do not speak. What is the reason?" Text 18. Nityananda Prabhu then said, "We want to tell you something, although we cannot stay without speaking. We are still very much afraid to speak." Text 19. "We want to submit before you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this. Unless he sees you, the king of Orissa will become a mendicant." Text 20. Nityananda Prabhu continued, "The king has decided to become a mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring. He does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Purport. In India, there is still a class of professional mendicants who are very much like the gypsies of Western countries. They know some magical art and mystical processes, and their business is to beg from door to door, sometimes pleading and sometimes threatening. Such mendicants are sometimes called yogis and sometimes kanapatha yogis. The word kanapatha refers to one who has put a hole in his ear to wear an earring made of ivory. Maharaj Pratap Rudra was so depressed by not getting to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he decided to become such a yogi. Ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivory earring in his ear, but this is not the sign of a real yogi. Maharaj Pratap Rudra also thought that to become a mendicant yogi, one must wear such an earring. Text 21. Nityananda Prabhu continued, "The king also expressed his desire to see the moon-like face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his eyes' full satisfaction. He would like to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart." Hearing all these statements, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was certainly softened. But externally he wished to speak some harsh words. That's what it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, "Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vakya Nabhujaya." We cannot try to understand the activities, the words, the mind of a Vaishnava. We can see that here. Krishnadas Kaviraj is giving to us both the internal and external mode. But Mahaprabhu was internally very happy because he's been recommended by so many of his men, but externally he still wanted to set an example. Text 23, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can understand that you all desire to take me to Cuttack to see the king. Purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is naturally the reservoir of all kindness, and as soon as he heard the statement made by the king, his heart immediately softened. Thus the Lord was ready to go see the king even at Cuttack. He did not even consider allowing the king to come from Cuttack to Jagannath Puri to see him. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind that he was ready to go see the king at Cuttack. Apparently it was never expected that the king wanted to see the Lord at his place. But by way of being externally harsh, the Lord indicated that if all the devotees so desired, he would go to Cuttack to see the king. Text 24. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, What to speak of spiritual advancement? All the people will blaspheme me. And what to speak of all the people? Damodar would chastise me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had all kinds of devotees. Some were like super humble, some were poetic, some were like heavy, even to Mahaprabhu himself. Like Mahaprabhu is talking about Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit was very, very close associate of Mahaprabhu. And he would not tolerate any difference, any slight discrepancies. Of course, Mahaprabhu had no discrepancies, but even apparent, if it looked like Damodar would immediately get on the Lord's case. And because he had so much love for the Lord, and Mahaprabhu also loved him so much, Mahaprabhu would see what he is trying to say and not get offended. Well, there was this one little boy that would come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every day he would come. And the boy's features are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The boy looked so beautiful, like, you know, nice features. And he had such good qualities, so humble, gentle. You know, he had like so much respect for the seniors And he would come to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day. And the Mahaprabhu would welcome him and, you know, give him such mercy and attention that the boy would come every day. But Damodar Pandit couldn't stand it. Like, day after day he was just getting like agitated and irritated. And one day after the boy left, Damodar Pandit like spoke very heavily to Mahaprabhu. He said, What are you doing, my lord? And Mahaprabhu said, What? He said, This boy is the son of a widow and he doesn't have a father. The father died. And the mother, she is very chaste and, you know, very amazing devotee and everything, but she has one disqualification. She's very beautiful and she's very young. And if the world sees that you give so much attention to this little boy whose mother is a widow, who is single, then people are going to misunderstand. So you can't do this. You know, you're like a gosani or the acharya. And, you know, if you're behaving like this, what to speak of, you know, anybody else. So you have to stop this. You cannot associate with this boy. He's giving very heavy instruction. That's why Mahaprabhu is afraid here. Now what will he say if I meet with the king? There was this another associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit. He was actually described as the Satyabhama from Krishna Leela. And he was like so possessive and so, you know, heavy with Mahaprabhu. One time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his final pastimes in the Antya Leela, Mahaprabhu was displaying all kinds of ecstatic symptoms. He was emaciated. He was not eating properly. He was always like, you know, shedding tears, and he doesn't know whether it's day or night. He was actually locked up by the devotees in a room because they didn't want him to Sometimes he would go and drown in the ocean thinking it's Ganga. Sometimes they will find him in a fisherman's net, and sometimes they will find him in cow shed, you know, being licked by the Thailanga cows, and he was doing all kinds of ecstatic pastimes. So Jagadananda Pandit actually sent this very, very expensive sandalwood oil to rub in Mahaprabhu's head, because it brings down, like, it balances all the life airs and it's really healthy and smells wonderful. And when Swarup Damodar actually presented the oil to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu said, "What is this? You know, what is Jagadananda Pandit trying to do to me? Why didn't he also send me a masseuse and some soft bed, you know, so it'll be a complete package? What are people going to think if they smell this fancy oil on me while I'm walking? They're going to think, what kind of sannyasi is this?" So Mahaprabhu said to Swarup Damodar, "You take it and you burn it in Jagannath's temple. At least that way you will get some benefit. What's the point of giving it to me?" And Jagadananda Pandit came a few days later and he inquired from Swarup Damodar, "Did you actually give to Mahaprabhu the gift I sent?" And Swarup Damodar said, "You know, Mahaprabhu was very upset. He didn't accept, you know." And Jagadananda Pandit was so offended that Mahaprabhu didn't accept this oil. So he grabbed the pot, big pot of sandalwood oil, and just smashed it in the ground in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started screaming, "Who said I sent you oil? I didn't send you any oil. Who has told you this? This is like simply, you know, bogus like this." He was very upset. And then he went and locked his... He went inside a room and locked the door and he wouldn't come out. For 3 days he was just fasting. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went to him and knocked the door and said, "Jagadananda Pandit, I miss your cooking. Are you going to cook for me today?" And Jagadananda Pandit opened the door as soon as he heard the door and said, "Yes, my lord, I'll cook for you." So Jagadananda Pandit made this amazing lunch preparation and Mahaprabhu ate to his full satisfaction. And then Mahaprabhu actually joked with him and said, "Wow, the lunch tasted amazing even though you were so angry. So are you going to take some prasadam and break your fast, Jagadananda Pandit?" And he said, yes, I will, but you don't worry about it, my lord. You take prasadam and you go to rest and Govinda will give you massage." So his very fiery personality. Even when Sanatan Goswami, when he developed this itch, skin disease, where it was like oozing with blood and pus, and he came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu would embrace him with his long arms. And Sanatan Goswami was thinking, "I'm so condemned. I came to do service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now I'm offending him. He's embracing me every time he sees me. But my blood and pus is touching the body of the Lord. I'm so condemned. I don't know what to do." But Mahaprabhu was saying, "Sanatan, this blood and pus is like chatusmada for me. Chatusmada is a beautiful preparation made of camphor, sandal, wood paste and saffron. They mix all this and they apply to the Lord in Jagannath." So Mahaprabhu said, just like a mother, you know, in those days they didn't have diapers, but Mahaprabhu was giving the example, just like a mother when they're changing the nappy, the diapers of the child, it's not like she's disgusted. Out of love, she enjoys it. Similarly, "I love you so much, Sanatan, that, you know, your blood and pus is like chatusmada for me." So Sanatan Goswami was so confused. He said, "What do I do now, you know? I don't know whether, maybe I should just throw myself under the chariot, Jagannath cart, and end my life. That way at least I won't be offensive and next life I'll be in a better situation." But Jagadananda Pandit told him, "Sanatan Goswami, why you're making a big deal, you know? you are here and your body is not well, why don't you go to Vrindavan and just go away, you know? And this way, you know, you're out of sight, out of mind, you're not, you know, causing any offenses. So Sanatana Goswami thought it was a great idea that Jagadananda Pandit has given him the advice to leave. But Sanatana Goswami went to get permission of Lord Chaitanya, saying, I'm going, my Lord. And Mahaprabhu said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Vrindavan. And Jagadananda Pandit has rightly advised me to go to Vrindavan. That way I'll go and start my, you know, excavating holy places and writing books. And this way, you know, I won't cause offenses. And Mahaprabhu became so upset. He said, this impudent Jaga, he has the audacity to give you advice. Even I see you as my spiritual master, Sanatana Goswami. How could Jagadananda Pandit, who is like junior to you, can give you advice? So you don't listen to him, you have to stay here, Mahaprabhu told. And a year later, Sanatana Goswami went through so much suffering. Sometimes we think, you know, because we are devotee, immediately some disease or some health problem we have should go away. But Sanatana Goswami was with Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But his body was like, you know, so itchy and burning and pouring with blood and pus. For the whole year he was going through all kinds of austerities. And after a year it says Mahaprabhu embraced him and his, you know, skin became perfectly fine. So it didn't happen right away. So these are some really wonderful pastimes. Chaitanya Charitamrita is filled with this kind of nectar. And somehow we should take our time to read this Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's so important. Many times I try to distribute the sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And devotees tell me, oh, you know, I'm not qualified to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's like far, you know, far. I'm far from it. But that's not true. Even before Prabhupada finished Srimad Bhagavatam, these books were distributed on the streets, right, Archita Prabhu? So, it's nothing wrong by reading these books. And especially like the Madhya Leela, the middle pastimes and the ending pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so much nectar. And this actually gives a better understanding of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada is quoting all the time here, Srimad Bhagavatam slokas, nectar of devotion, you know, Bhagavad Gita, like this. So this includes Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So you cannot go wrong by reading these wonderful pastimes. So this way we can learn the art of devotional service, we can learn the culture, we can learn the mood. Otherwise, you know, we just like so raw, you know, so like rough. It's not very pleasing to the Lord. We have to develop the perfect mood. I'll just read a couple more and then stop if anybody have any comments or questions. Text 25. I shall not meet the king at the request of all the devotees, but I shall do so if Damodar will give his permission. Purport. From the spiritual point of view, a sannyasi is strictly forbidden to see materialistic people, especially a king who is always engaged in counting pounds, shillings and pence. Indeed, the meeting between a sannyasi and a king is always considered abominable. A sannyasi is always subjected to public criticism, and a small fault on his part is taken seriously by the public. People actually expect a sannyasi to preach and not take part in any social or political matters. If a sannyasi is subject to public criticism, his preaching will not be fruitful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically wanted to avoid such criticism so that his preaching work would not be hampered. It so happened that while the Lord was talking to his disciples at the time, the devotee Damodar Pandit was present. This Damodar Pandit was a very faithful devotee and a staunch lover of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whenever there was anything that might touch or taint the character of the Lord, Damodar Pandit would immediately point it out, not even considering the exalted position of the Lord. It is sometimes said that fools rush in where angels dare not. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out Damodar Pandit's foolishness in coming forward to criticize the Lord. This is why the Lord stated that Damodar Pandit would give him permission. If Damodar Pandit would give him permission, he would go to see the king. There was a deep meaning in the statement, for it is a warning that Damodar Pandit should not dare criticize the Lord anymore, for it was not befitting his position as a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered the guide and the spiritual master of all the devotees living with him. Damodar Pandit was one of them, and the Lord rendered Damodar Pandit a special favor by warning him to avoid criticism any further. A devotee or a disciple should never attempt to criticize the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. See, we can hear from here the culture and the etiquette. And Prabhupada is amazing. Prabhupada the whole time is talking about how sannyasi is prohibited to do this, prohibited to do that. But we can see in his personal life, even though Prabhupada was a sannyasi, he took so much risk. He went to this Avalon ballroom dancing with all kinds of rock bands playing, and people were taking LSD and naked and, you know, all kinds of horrible sounds. But Prabhupada went in the middle of the night to chant Hare Krishna. And we can see Prabhupada was willing to meet with anybody, you know, George Harrison. You know, he was even willing to accept the Queen of England as his disciple. So much risk Prabhupada took. Married his disciples, didn't usually happen. You know, sannyasis are not supposed to be like matchmaking and conducting the weddings of his disciples. And started the Brahmacharini ashram and so many, you know, things that was not allowed, and even his god brothers criticized. Even his own god brothers, the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who was very different and radical and revolutionary, even his disciples criticized Prabhupada because Prabhupada was extraordinary. And he was doing activities that blew the minds of his disciples just out of compassion and to spread Mahaprabhu's movement. He was constantly taxing his brain, you know, how to push on this movement. So by reading this book, we can see the whole picture. So I'll stop here. Is Prema Sankirtan Prabhu has one second. Prema Sankirtan wanted to say something, and then.
You said how sometimes somebody can approach spiritual master with false ego. Can you explain a little bit or give some example about that? What you mean? Can you explain a little bit? Elaborate.
Yeah. He said sometimes you approach the guru with false ego. So what are the examples? You know, it's in Kali Yuga, we're not actually, you know, trained to take a subordinate role. So we approach the guru like an equal or a buddy, you know. So it's just, if you get chastised, it's like very hard to swallow. And we also don't know so much etiquette, and, you know, we don't have so much humility. So, you know, you can approach your guru just like, one of the examples is like you want to show how amazing devotee you are and how efficient you are, And you sometimes be willing to even give advice to the spiritual master, and all these things are, if you study the actual guru-disciple relationship in the books, we have no clue what it is. Especially, also we have so many Prabhupada disciples, they're so nice to us, and we talk to them like, oh, I know them, they're equal, they're like friends to me. And then when the guru comes, you try to show the same mood to the guru, and then you get smashed, You can commit offenses and, so many things. So when we approach the spiritual master, it's actually, we can say to somebody else, okay, if your guru chastises you, it's actually mercy, Prabhu, you're so fortunate. But when you're actually getting chastised, it's hard. If you're getting chastised like 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 10 days in a row, you're ready to bloop. It's just too much, Why can't he leave me alone? Like, can't he see that, I'm just trying my best, I can't handle it anymore. I just had recent experience. My Guru Maharaj was saying like, hello, wake up. It's just like, he went for a walk, and he gave me his phone to hold. And as soon as I came back, I was going to give obeisances and give his phone back. And before I got up, he said, where is my phone? And then I said, I have it, Maharaj. He said, hello, wake up. Come back to this planet Earth, please. I mean, for me, I'm thinking, what's he talking about? I was going to give his phone back, but it's so hard to swallow. But you had to think like, okay, this is the mercy. You have to be humbled by him, and his training. It's hard because we know theoretically, but when you're actually in the position, you just like, it's hard. We fail every time. We fail the test. Does that make sense? Amala Bhakta Prabhu had something to say. Amala Bhakta Prabhu. You can, please.
I thank you very much for so many nice stories, all with spiritual purports and nice guidance and direction. I just wanted to finish one of the stories that you had told, and that was the one about the young boy who was very attracted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and loved to be with him because he didn't have a father, so he looked at Lord Chaitanya as a father. And it's only natural for a person, a man who sees a young boy who doesn't have a father, to befriend him and to give him the protection and to give him guidance and nice words. The point is that after Damodar Pandit continued to chastise Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for allowing the boy to keep coming, even though he had told the boy not to come, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a very sarcastically but friendly way, said to him, my dear Damodar, I have never seen anyone who has such a high standard of etiquette as you do. It's even higher than mine. And as a result, what I will do is I'm going to send you back to West Bengal, and you can go to all the different devotees. First, you can go to my mother, find out how she is, make sure that everybody is respecting her properly. Then you can go from one devotee to another, make sure that they're not committing offenses, make sure that they're doing everything right. And so as a result of that particular situation, Damodar Pandit was then, in other words, he was told, hit the road, Jack. I don't want to see you no more, for a while anyway. To be separated from the Lord, to be told by the Lord, please leave. You have such a high ethical standard that I cannot even tolerate it. So therefore, he of course went and he did what he had to do. But the thing about it is, as you mentioned, is when you start telling the Lord what is good and what is bad and what is high and what is low, and you start acting as his guru, you stand to lose, as he did lose in that situation.
Jai, thank you for that. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai.